Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mike McFarland, we were unable to get to anything out of our last guest. Do you have a forecast for us today or this weekend, by any chance?
Yeah, it's going to rain today.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Boy, that was so easy and quick. How did you do that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. When you come on TV on Monday and say Western Kansas is going to get 3 feet of snow, and then it goes down to like an inch or two, you just, you know, kind of get to your part of the country and say, all right, yep, we're gonna get rain this afternoon. That's it. Don't care how much. No flooding. It's just going to rain. All right, let's get to Mike McFarland at 8:05 like right. We promised him.
8:05. Ah, well, we tried.
Yeah. All right, so we got 10 minutes. Let's go. Let's get after it.
Actually, you know what? We got all the time you want.
We got all the time you want.
Yeah,
man.
We don't got any guests.
Honestly,
I start cleaning out the 8 o'clock hour on Fridays because we ain't getting to you to 8:20.
Mac, we hope that you have more than 10 minutes. We got a lot to talk about with these Royals, these first place Royals. The first thing I wanted to bring up, but this when I saw this, I'll be honest with you, this surprised me. I don't know if it surprised you guys or if you saw this tweet last night that the Royals Twitter account sent out. The Royals have won 54 consecutive games when leading after 7 innings, which is the longest streak in Major League Baseball.
That I did not know.
That's wild.
We're going from Davis and Holland to Zimmer and Barlow, and throw Stahlmount in there. You've got some power on the back end of the bullpen that they're starting to cement themselves in that part. I mean, look, there's nothing funny about it. Barlow's slider is as tight and as filthy as you could possibly imagine, and Zimmer
right.
has turned himself into a pitcher. Just been very impressed with them. And then, look, depending on what you decide to do with Junis, I mean, I'm liking the way that his stuff's looking. Do you keep him in the rotation? I think, again, 5 innings, he's earned himself another start. So this team is just fun to watch. And throw in the fact that, Soler's, you know, maybe starting to look a little bit better, but Santana still scuffling. Dozier gets 2 hits and raises his average 67 points, and still no Mondesi. So, look, we're not even seeing anything of what this offense could possibly be. I mean, there's a chance that this team can slug with anybody in the game right now. And being here in the Midwest, you know, let them talk about the Angels and Shohei and then the Yankees and the American League East. Well, screw them. I'm having a hell of a lot more fun watching the Royals play right now.
That's right. And you mentioned Junis. So we led the show off with that. And look, the guy goes into spring training and performs very well. And all the talk is about his new cutter. And so and Bubich didn't, you know, he had some issues in spring. And so when it's time for a fifth starter, they gave the opportunity to Junis. He capitalized. He was terrific. And he backs it up with another solid start. And like you said, he deserves another crack at this thing. But I want to ask you about him now with this cutter. Is this sustainable? Are you looking now at a guy that, I'm sorry, I'm watching Nate eat something. He's got it all over his arm while trying to eat during the, you know, a little bit of a misstep. Now, Nate's licking what he dropped on his arm, off of his arm. Mac, I just wanted you to know what goes on between questions here. And so,
cauliflower smoothie, Mac.
There you go, Mac. And so, is this something we can buy into, that this is the new Jake Junis? He developed a new pitch. He's got confidence in it. And is this the type of pitcher now that he is that can hold on to this spot maybe the whole season?
Well, it gives you a two different looks at an off-speed pitch, and I wouldn't exactly call the cutter an off-speed pitch, but it is in between his four-seamer and his breaking ball. You keep forgetting about his breaking ball, which when he's on adds a little depth to it, but he just looks so much calmer and smoother on the mound than he did at any time, you know, last year. Nothing looks rushed. Everything is calm, cool, and then it just gets explosive when he's driving off the mound. And that cutter, to righties, jamming lefties, just the movement on it. It gives you a lot of weapons when you're calling a game. You know, not to mention his changeup. So everything just looks so much smoother. I don't know. I guess the word I'm looking for is much more mature, not as panicky as it had been in the past. And maybe there were some arm issues, maybe not. I don't know, but. Boy, it's fun watching him just go up against this team, and this isn't exactly a bad hitting ball club in the Blue Jays. You know, their power numbers are skewed a little bit playing in the minor league park a little bit when they're at home, but still, this is a team that can hit.
You know, you brought up his, and by the way, I thought mound presence. It just seems like he. I don't know how to describe it, but his mound presence seemed like he just was in control watching him last night too. But when you brought up that breaking ball, he had a lot of success with the slider last night. And I was actually meaning to ask you that this morning because, as you said, the cutter's almost like somewhere in between the fastball and the slider. Does the cutter affect the slider from a hitter standpoint? Does that make the slider any more difficult to pick up or hit when there's like this pitch that's somewhere in between? Or does it give him another option that if the cutter's not doing exactly what he wants, or I don't know, just like how does it at all? The addition of his cutter, does that affect the effectiveness of his slider at all?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just look at the pitch speed differential between the two. You pick up rotation, then you have a millisecond to determine whether this one's going to be the sweeping slider or is this going to be the one that's a little bit harder coming off his fingertips in the cutter. So if you're able to keep three pitches in the mind of a hitter, it gets awfully hard to discern which one's coming, especially when you're in a fastball count. Okay, be ready for the fastball, but make sure it's not the cutter. You know, it is not an easy task. If you can narrow things down to two pitches, the two extremes, okay, maybe you can sit on one. But when you have a cutter and a slider, to go along with a fastball that gets on you in a hurry, very difficult. You're just going to have to sit on one pitch, hope you get it, and do some damage with it. And right now, there's a lot of wrong guessing going on the opponent's part.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. Mac, Sal, I know Salvi went over 4 yesterday, but he has been on fire. And we've talked about this for, you know, a few weeks, and you will be able to tell us more about this better than anyone. I really think that even though we never want to see Salvi hurt, him going through the elbow injury and Tommy John surgery and having to sit out the entire 2019 season and then having an abbreviated 2020 season, he ends up in the long run benefiting from that. It saves his legs. He does not catching as many innings. And I think that's partially why you saw him perform so well at the plate as a hitter last year, and you're seeing that as a hitter this year. And that's why, and also his growth as a hitter now in his early 30s, he's a student of the game. He's getting better, okay? Guys get better. Do you think there's something there to that, the fact that he didn't have to catch all of 2019? They only had the abbreviated season last year, and so you're seeing a fresher, rejuvenated Salvi that's just got more gas in the tank.
Absolutely, without question. Then you throw in the maturity of becoming a hitter rather than a swinger. Look, we know Salvi can go up there and swing a sword from time to time and just go up there hacking at everything.
But, I like him up there swinging a sword, Meg. I'm thinking about that.
The whole point of it is, those streaks aren't as long. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but you saw the adjustments coming. So instead of him, you know, hacking and flailing for 2 weeks, now it's down to 5-6 days or 5 or 6 games. And, you know, I go back to what Chipper Jones, pretty good ball player, said at one point. If I would have known what I know at 30 and applied it to when I was in my 20s, there's no telling what kind of hitter I would be. And it's very true for every hitter. That you learn that the approach becomes a lot more important than scouting reports and things like that, and staying in the middle of the field. We're seeing the power to right center field, and when he's going good, I mean, it's just the maturation process of a hitter from his 20s to his 30s. and throw on the fact that he had a year off and a shortened season last year, and just the, you know, unabandoned joy that he plays the game with, it's a pretty good, you know, everyone's talking about the salary. I think it's the contract extension. I think it was a no-brainer, because I think you're going to have a lot of healthy seasons coming along. You got a catcher that, you know, for a manager that basically was beat to a pulp and understands the physical nature of the game, starting, you know, 150 games every year. So I think he's going to get to that point in the summer and start giving Salvi either some time at first base or on DH, which is just going to make him even more available and strong at the end of the season, hopefully when we're getting into pennant contention.
That's why one of my favorite phrases is youth is wasted on the young.
That's the truth.
In more ways than one.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it.
If I could go back and know what I know now, I'd end up probably in jail, but that's fine. What about
that? We used to always talk that, you know what, though, the thing is, then you wouldn't be able to identify with all the other knuckleheads that are young, though. They'd be like, what's this guy's problem? He's so mature.
Right.
But there is a young guy that I like his approach at the plate a lot. He's never going to be a big power hitter, Mac, but Nicky Lopez, that I thought that triple that he hit yesterday, I think he's a tough out, even though, look, I know he doesn't hit for power or anything, but he just makes it hard to... It seems like he can get to a lot of different pitches. I don't know. What did you think of the way he performed yesterday?
Well, I'm just happy that you know, he kept his mouth quiet when he went down, was given the opportunity, and I'm saying he's barging through the door to give them a reason to keep him up here again, you know, when Mondesi gets healthy. So it doesn't look necessarily anything different. He's getting some luck, you know, some balls are finding some holes, but he's also, you know, doesn't look, I don't know, as panicky again. I keep getting back to that word where, if, you know, if I don't get a hit, I'm going back down. He looks pretty comfortable up there right now and just staying in the middle of the field and using his hand a lot more. He had a lot of upper half in his swing last year, which caused length to his swing and was just getting abused at certain times. But right now, he just looks a lot looser, and he's letting his hands work and finding the barrel. And I think he said it. He just went back to being who and what he was without trying to stick up bigger numbers with the, you know, the slugging percentage. You know, I'm a singles hitter that's going to find doubles. I'm going to be able to move a runner over. I'm going to be able to hit a sac fly. Go ahead and be that in this lineup and play your gold glove level defense, whether you're at short or second base. I'm just very happy for him that he was given the chance, and more importantly, he's coming through and making the most of his chance.
And honestly, I mean, look, we don't know when Mondesi's coming back, but if we're looking at how things are playing out, it looks like he may have won his spot back, because Isbell has not been in the lineup. He's been cold. And so now when Mondesi comes back, instead of Nicky going back down, you can make a case for Nicky staying up when Mondesi comes back and Witt going back to the outfield. What do you think of that?
You know, Alberto's another question mark. That kid's throwing up some at-bats as well.
Right.
Especially as good as he hits, you know, left-handed pitchers. So They're going to have some questions, but they can figure it out. You know, they'll have to make that determination, and it's not going to be an easy one, because Nicky's making it a hell of a lot harder than I think they thought they would have.
We're visiting with Mike McFarland, and you know, Mac, it's crazy because the guys we're talking about that are giving so much of this production to the team are at the bottom of the order. And last year, I mean, I remember we talked with JJ Piccolo. At the start of the season, he said, look, we feel like if we can get a run a night from our 6, 7, 8 hitters, we'll be in a really good chance to win the game. They got 5 runs from their 6, 7, 8 hitters in terms of runs scored last night. Meanwhile, Santana and Soler are hitting 154 and 171 combined. They're winning these games and in first place, and they're not getting any real run production from the middle of the order, which I would feel like you got to assume that's going to turn around at some point, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, Taylor got off to a hot start, you know, and Isbell early on had some big hits, but Nicky, Alberto, whoever's down there at the bottom of the lineup, go ahead and overlook us and keep giving us good pitches to hit. I think the teams are finding out that the bottom part of this order can has some teeth to it, and getting on, and you give Whit Merrifield a chance to drive in a run, especially running a third less than two outs, you might as well just count it. So, but yeah, the most successful teams have some guys that are able to work the count, get on bases, make the situation tough for the pitcher to flip that lineup over and get back up to where your muscle is. Absolutely.
Now, what do you think of the pitching matchup we're going to see tonight? Mike Minor for the Royals and Steven Matz for the Blue Jays.
Well, Minor's going to have to use his changeup a lot. I think this is a very good fastball hitting team. They swing it pretty well against left-handed pitchers, from what I understand. But, you know, again, this team has the ability to slug with anyone, in my opinion. If things get going right, I don't think there's a lead that they're too concerned about, that they don't have the chance to come back and make a run at it and make things interesting late in the game. But, you know, it's a good young Blue Jays team that's been thrown out of their home country and having to play all over the East Coast somewhere. But, you know, they're a good ball club. But I think Minor, if he's, you know, working the inside corner with the fastball to tie him up, to keep him honest on the changeup and on that breaking ball down and into right-hand batters, it'd be a good night. But like I said, any given night, you're going to see anything from this ball club, including scoring one on a catcher's interference and all that other crap that happened the other day. I'm going, oh, my God, I don't think I've ever seen two errors on a catcher in one inning and still scoring a run on something as fluky as this stuff. And then Santana gets smoked in the same inning. That was pretty incredible. So when things are starting to go your way a little bit, even though they didn't get a run out of that, nothing's out of the realm of possibility, and it just keeps that feeling in that dugout that it doesn't matter. We're good things are happening. Bloops are finding holes. We're scoring runs with our aggressive base run. It's a lot of fun to watch.
That just speaks to Salvi's awareness. He was able to snag that baseball after it ricocheted off of Walsh's junk. I mean, could a young Mike McFarland have pounced on that baseball like that and fired a throw to third base to get the guy out?
No, it would have hit off of him and kicked back towards first base, so I had no chance to get it. It's just very good players seem to hold those type of situations. And look, that's the runner coming down from third. Absolutely, he's got to try and score on that. You see it bounce up, and you expect it to kick away, and it bounced 2 feet in front of Salvi. And if you're halfway down the base path with Salvi's on, good luck. You might as well just maybe deke the throw and had a better chance with Dozier coming and throwing him out at home. But no chance. Perfect play, and just shows Salvi never gives up. He hustles on every play, even in the ninth inning.
As we pointed out, the ending of that game was absolutely nuts. And finally, Mac, I just want to ask you what you think of this. We brought this up to Buster Olney, and he said this was the dumbest proposal he's heard yet when it comes to trying to make baseball more exciting with more offense. What about the idea of moving the pitching rubber back a foot? I think Mike hung up. He didn't like that at all.
Oh boy, no, he did.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right. I mean,
it's getting more and more asinine every day. It ain't going to happen at the major league level.
I just wanted to make sure you didn't like it.
How do we entice fans to come to some of these games? Well, you know, it's just starting to get Bill Veeckish, you know, right, with the crazy promotions and things like that. It's just stupid. One, you're going to put more pressure on the kids on. Two, I'm getting 600 in this league. I should be in the big leagues. And then all of a sudden, the 90-mile-an-hour fastball turns into 98 at the major league level. I don't know. They're just – I give.
I just wanted a quick appearance from red-ass Mike McFarland, so thank you for letting him join us on this.
I read that, and I said, I give. I'm done.
Now he's talking about it, you're done.
Let the game be.
Hey, Mac, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend, Dave.
Well, he didn't like that, did he? Who does?
I knew he didn't hang up. I knew he was like, just sitting there.
Like, who does like it? Like, Buster thinks ridiculous. Every ex-player, like, it's stupid. I need to know who came up with this. Here's an idea. No. Yeah. And what league are they going to do?
The Atlantic League, yeah. Which isn't an independent league, but it is like, it's somehow
well,
affiliated
like
with Major League Baseball, but the teams aren't like minor, they're not like farm clubs. I don't know. So it's kind of an independent league. So that's why they're trying it there. It's because I think like JJ said, they don't want their pitching prospects that they've invested all this time and money in to hurt their arms because they're trying to overthrow because they have to throw farther now.
Now listen, I'm going to give you, I want you to be happy on this Friday, so you're going to pick the next segment, what we're going to talk about. Do you want to hear some Royals?
Soccer, what?
We're going to give a little soccer there, but do you want to hear a little Royals post game? Or do you want to hear Jake react to the newly released Vegas NFL win totals?
Jake and the Vegas win totals.
Hot off the presses. Don't be. And
I
don't
want
be
Vegas
looking.
Jake in there.
I want Vegas Jake. I want you to hear him for the first time when I give
all
him
right.
to you.
I won't look.
And
I just
want you to throw out overs and unders. That's all.
Here we go. I got the glasses
okay,
on.
Okay, we'll take a break. Get Vegas Jake ready.
It's for throat chakras.
Wow.
What? That's what these are.
Yeah.
The blue one.
What's that again?
The throat chakra.
Right. I've seen that movie.
So you're going to be
after
full
this
throat
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.